Merkle Media.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Back It Up Fridays with Hammerlane Legends. I am your host with the most, Jack Merkle, and I'm here to deliver you the goods on a Friday. I hope you've had a good week and are ready for this weekend. This week, we have a good one to present to you. Episode 87, Belly Fries. This was back in the day again, not too far back in the day, but just a little bit, with our good friend Flatbed Johnny. Flatbed Johnny had joined us on an earlier episode, and he came back because he still had more to deliver for us. He gave us a whole bunch of fun stories. I personally love the comedic episodes. I love to hear all the funny things that happen to people being chased by swans and whatnot. There's so much to, you know, just kind of digest with the funny ones that I laugh at those all the time. But that's just me. I have a comedic bent to me. I know you guys are ready for this one. And as I could tell, I know you guys like the show too. This was a good episode. Flatbed Johnny was just hilarious. And, quite honestly, this one is one of my favorite ones. So I hope you guys enjoy it. If you like the show, go ahead and give us a little rating and review on any of those podcast apps that you have. And you can go ahead and catch us on all of those different social medias. Anywho, I hope you're ready for this one. Peace out.
He put it in park, threw open the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people that really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going to Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to Hammer Lane Legends. I'm your host, Tony Merkle.
And I am Brian Merkle.
We're really glad that you're here. If you have a crazy and wild experience you want to share with us from the road, go ahead and shoot us an email. Our email address is hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com. Or go to the website, hammerlanelegends.com. Hit the contact section. You can reach us that way as well. Either way works for us. Just get a hold of us. Dad, we got that voicemail line. You know what to do next.
I do know what to do next. You give us a call. So I'm going to tell you what you should do next. You give us a call at 515-585-MERK. That's 515-585-6375. If you've got a short story you want to share, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, that's good. Give us a call. Leave a message. Give us your story. If it's anything longer than that, freaking A, get a hold of the show.
Just freaking email us.
Do it.
All right. Listen, friends, we also offer emergency preparedness food. Prepare with HLL.com. That's prepare with HLL.com. There you can get yourself emergency supply food and survival gear. The food will last you up to 25 years on the shelf. And I am dead serious when I say this. If you have not started preparing you and your family for the emergency, for a time of shortage, you need to do that now. You don't need to do it. Prepare with HLL if you don't want to. If you don't want to use our site, you don't have to. But I am telling you, you have to start preparing you and your family for serious, serious shortages. The trucking industry is 80,000 drivers short. And if this vaccine mandate goes through on the industries like trucking, the trucking industry is going to lose up to 30% of its drivers. That means even less drivers transporting goods around the country. The goods that you need, that you ordered, or that we need to pick up for our family, food, medicine, things like that, it will not be on the shelves. Look in any of the stores now. I was just at Best Buy today. The shelves were bare. Please, friends, I'm telling you, you don't need to use preparewithhll.com. It's just a resource for you. But please, please, please start getting prepared if you have not done so yet.
Yes.
Because if that mandate goes through, there's going to be 30% less drivers than we already have of the 80,000 we're already short. I'm just being very stern and serious because I'm dead serious with this. I've been talking about preparewithhll.com for about a year now.
Year and a half now.
And it's because we've been seeing the writing on the wall.
Yep.
This is something that we actually started offering Prepare last year.
Right.
And it was because the shortages that we first started seeing, the toilet paper apocalypse, right?
Yep.
And but we started seeing the pattern, the trend, and where this was going to be going. We saw that this wasn't a one-off thing, and we were right. We're now here. The time to prepare is running short. So just do yourself a favor. Do your family a favor, hit preparewithhll.com or go to your freaking store and buy whatever's left, but make sure you are taking care of you and your family because it is that serious right now. I'm not kidding. I'm not playing games.
It is. And you know what? It's better to be a month early than a day late.
Absolutely. Because so
once that time is passed, it's passed.
Exactly. And in crazy times, people do crazy things.
Yep.
And you don't want to be that person that is asking your neighbors for help when they're not concerned about helping you. They're concerned about taking care of them and their families. And the last thing you want is to be put in a very vulnerable position where you're relying on other people to help you and there's nobody to help you because, in all honesty, their job, their number one job and priority is to take care of themselves and their family. Mm. You're not their responsibility. And so make sure you take on that responsibility for yourself and your family and prepare, whether it's through preparewithhll.com or your local grocery store. Just start picking at the shelves and stuffing it in closets. Whatever you got to do, just make sure you're taken care of.
Yes.
All right. On a lighter note, we also offer a great resource here, friends, where you can tip the show and buy us some coffee at buymeacoffee.com/hammerlane. That's buymeacoffee.com/hammerlane. And keep us caffeinated, keep us running and stuff. Dad needs to stay awake at nighttime. And
amen, brother.
He typically brings about a 5-gallon bucket of coffee to
with
work.
A straw.
Yeah. You know? I mean, it's evolved over the years. It used to be one of those styrofoam cups, then became a mug, then became a thermostat. Now it's a 5-gallon bucket with like a hose that comes out of
That's
it.
Right.
He just siphons it out while he's driving. So he drinks a lot of coffee. And, you know, if you want to help, you know, this addict of a caffeine fiend, caffeinated, please hit buymeacoffee.com/hammerlane.
And you know what? I want to say thank you to everybody who has bought us a coffee. It's been
especially
great.
The code name, the Swift. We got somebody who bought some coffee for us. Swift Transport.
Swift Transport.
Oh, so apparently you don't even need to use your real name if you don't want to, because this person, whoever it is, decided they were going to say Swift Transport is buying the Merkel guys some coffee. So
yes,
shout out to Swift Transport.
Amen, brother.
There's a first time for everything. We just shouted it out, Swift Transport. Oh, man. All right. Well, today we got Johnny. Flatbed Johnny on the show. He is a returning guest. He's the guy from the episode Mathematics that everybody loved. He is full of stories, full of laughing. Let's get to Johnny right now. All right, today we got Johnny on the show. Johnny, how you doing, man?
Hey, Flatbed Johnny, back in the studio. It's like when Carson invites you to sit down on the couch or something like that.
Yes, it is.
Oh, man. Oh, you know, I guess I should have said Flatbed Johnny to start it out. But
that's all right.
Yeah, it's we got ourselves a returning guest. Everybody freaking loved Mathematics.
Oh, that was hilarious. Oh, my word. It was one of my favorite podcasts.
Yeah, that was a fun one.
Yeah, well, it is sugar beet harvesting season here in Idaho, and that means that they're pulling all the beets out of the field, and then they're taking them to the sugar factory. And I was sitting out on the porch the other day. I was sitting on my friend's porch. She lives on the main drag in town, and she all of a sudden we hear this of just gears grinding. And she goes, "Watch, I bet you that's that kid." And this beat truck comes by, and there's a 12-year-old kid driving this semi. It's like a dump truck, you know. Here's this 12-year-old kid just grinding his gears down the main drag. And they must have taken him out of school because the school bus came the other way. He stood up in that seat, grabbed that chain. He was like, bah-bah! You know, the school bus.
Oh, that's awesome. And
this local family, they got a 9-year-old, a 12-year-old, and a 15-year-old. And they make the 9-year-old drive the tractor because it's slow, you know. And then they got that 12-year-old and the 15-year-old driving those beat trucks. So, wow. You know, it's pretty amazing.
That is.
Living over here in the farm country.
Yeah, it's,
that is amazing.
Like a journey. You know, and that's the thing. I mean, the kids, are, you know, they start driving these things at young ages. Yes, young ages. Do. And, you know, they're just learning as they go and having some fun. I mean,
hey, you know, like I said, it can't be worse than some of these guys out here who don't know what the heck they're doing or don't care or whatever, you know. You maybe they're just right. Idiots. I never, you know, you think you couldn't be too stupid to drive a truck, but man, some people would try to be tough.
Trust me, you
got it. But anyway. I wanted to say something to defend my fat flatbed brethren that I forgot to mention last time. You know, this thing about how flatbedders cannot back up, and I want to say like why that is. It's because we never back into a dock. You know, we are getting loaded from the side. That's what the loads are. They're loads that have to be loaded from the side. And so, like, I can't drive a curtain van either because some of my loads are long. Mm-hmm. They're like beams and they overhang. So that's why it's a flatbed load. And so that's why flatbedders are so bad at backing up. We're never backing into docks. We're never backing around corners. We pull in. They load us from the side. We get out, tie it down, and then we go. And that's why you always see them at the truck stops, myself included, you know, taking 3, 4, 5 chances to get back in that spot. And plus, you know, I drive a max single. It's got 14 wheels on it. Right. You know, it's got 4 axles. That thing don't turn. What crap? You know, you got to get out, lift 2 of the axles up, and then maybe you'll be able to get it around the curve, you know, put flat spots on your tires and stuff like that. But I just want to defend the flatbedders out there. We are the best, of course, the best kind of driver.
Of course.
Not as crazy as the bull hauler, not as stupid as the door swinger, but it's true. We cannot back up. That's just doing a little trash talking.
There you go. Just roll it all into one, you know.
I don't remember ever hearing that flatbedders are bad at backing up, so you just added yourself.
Well, but you know what?
go on like the trucker subreddit on Reddit, and you'll see everybody's always making these jokes about how flatbedders can't back up.
I was just going to say, you know, Tony's a city guy. He never had to freaking go to a truck stop. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
So he never watched a flatbedder try and back in.
The only time I went to go to a truck stop is like if I needed just to make up the, you know, just take some extra time, I'd pull off to the side there, you know, read a book. I'm just kidding.
I was going to say, what are you talking about, read?
Before I started driving truck, I thought, oh man, the worst thing in the world must be a truck stop shower, you know. But then when you've been on the road all week and you pull in there, you get that shower, you walk in there and it's like, you know, it's just like, it's so wonderful. And I've done it where you rent the shower, $12, right, just to be able to drop a deuce in peace. You know what I'm saying? Hey, ain't nothing wrong with that at all. It's worth the $12 to me.
Yes,
it's worth the $12.
Sometimes, yes, sir. Yes.
You some of these bathrooms. I mean, we got truck stops at least out here. They got the little like swinging doors from a cowboy bar on the stall. So every guy's coming in there is looking everybody in the eyes. You know, if you're looking for a place to go. You know,
that's like creepy, isn't it? Yeah.
You know that look babies get when they're pooping in their diaper. It's like, ooh, you know? Yeah, I can't do it. I can't make it work. You know.
Yep.
But anyway.
But good defense of flatbedders. That's fine. That's fantastic. Good job.
Hey, you know,
it was good.
Hey, and you know, it's funny. One of the stories that we mentioned last time was a belly fry story.
Right.
And it ties into the fact that there are no skinny flatbedders. You have to have some weight on you because you've got to pull down that bar to get those straps to tighten up, right? If you weigh 120 pounds, you're not going to be strong enough or heavy enough. It doesn't matter. You can do a pull up on that bar. It's not going to come down and ratchet that strap down tight. That's why we all look like big guys. You have to be big.
Yes.
And you're throwing timbers up there and stuff like that. You're pulling tarps or whatever. It's just, it'll be a harder job to do if you were a little person. So we tend to be big. We tend to have a little bit of gut on us, real strong in the arms, you know, but we tend to be fat, right? So I'm not the skinniest guy in the world. I'm in, you know, I'm in my mid to high 250s with possible gusts up to 60, 65. You know what I'm But I looked over one time, you know, when you're in the truck, you look at the other direction, you can see into the other semis. I looked over and I saw this guy who must have been like a 600 pounder. Mm. I mean, he was a big boy and he was driving with his shirt off and he was so fat that he had enough room on his belly to dump an entire extra large McDonald's fries out onto his belly.
No way.
Wow. And he had taken his little solar plexus and he had filled it with ketchup. And he is sitting there going down the road and he's taking those fries and he's dipping them in the ketchup on his belly and eating them one by. I was just like, it was the grossest thing. People are always like, hey man, you see any boobies out there on the road? You see anybody, you know, playing with themselves? Like, no man, it's even worse. You know, I look over, I see a guy, he's eating pizza, but he's got dentures and he takes out his dentures and he's licking the chewed up pizza off his dentures. You know, like I'm not seeing no boobies, you know, I'm seeing a big fat guy eating fries off his own belly fries, getting hair, picking the hairs out of his teeth, you know. It was so gross. And imagine how greasy you would be afterwards, oh, my you know. Word. Now, at home, I've got my dog to come over and lick that stuff off my belly, you know. But in the truck, I can't, you know, that would just be disgusting. Yeah. But, I mean, I don't know. People can be pretty disgusting. I can't imagine what the inside of some of these trucks look like.
Oh, my word. You got that right.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I think
I used to have a coworker named Porno Bob, man. I wouldn't want to go in his truck with a black light.
I wouldn't want to go in his truck. No way.
At all.
Black light or nothing. I don't want to search nothing out, dude.
Yeah, you catch that gonorrhea syphilis AIDS. You heard about that stuff, right? So I'm Flatbed Johnny. They called him Porno Bob, so I don't know what, you know, where he got that.
Yeah, where he got his nickname, but
yeah. Just look underneath the seat.
No, thank you.
There was an incredible story I heard about specifically about mining that I wanted to tell because I forgot it last time. And it was about the time that one of these mines bought one of those Australian road trains. You know, I'm talking about, it's like got eight trailers or something like that. It's a huge, huge train of trucks. And they've got a pusher engine in there somewhere. They've got big Dayton wheels, 100 wheels or whatever. Well, this thing had all position pintle hitches that would rotate to take advantage of the fact that the ground wasn't always level. So it could not just twist left and right, but it could twist up and down too. And the guy went to the ore, to the ore loaders where they're digging it out of the mine, and he loaded up each trailer with ore. And then he goes over over the hill, down around, and sometimes it's about 30 miles, you know, or whatever, where they're doing the haul. And he gets to the refinery. And the dude says, "Hey, your last, why didn't you put any ore in that last trailer?" He says, "I put ore in that last trailer." I said, "No, oh, it's empty." So they go back here and they look, and they're looking, and that trailer's empty. And they're looking, and they realize that the air lines on the hitch are wrapped all the way around the hitch. Because what had happened is he cracked the whip going over those hills and curves, and that trailer rolled completely around upside down and backed up on its wheels again and dumped its ore. And the whole road train was so long that he didn't even realize it had happened. You know, he hadn't even noticed that there was dragging or anything like that. It just cracked the whip, just rolled that trailer over, dumped all of his ore out on the road. Just kept going. Didn't even know. Didn't even notice.
That's crazy. That is crazy, man.
Yeah, that is pretty wild. I can't imagine what it's like driving those things. Oh, I've driven doubles, and even then, those little sneaky Petes who think they can make a right turn inside you when you swing wide, they have more opportunity to try and get in there. Those geniuses who want to lock up the whole traffic by sneaking around, getting themselves run over by the back into somebody's trailer.
Yes.
And then it's your fault. Your company's paying for it. But I always call them sneaky Petes. They think that, yeah. It's like that guy, everyone's waiting impatiently to merge, and it's that guy who wants to drive all the way down the side. Like, that's that, you know, it's a genius. He just thought he was the first person on earth to think that he could maybe pass the merge,
right,
you know?
Right.
Everybody else, this is how all of society is, right? Everybody's trying to get along, get through their lives, get to where they're going. And there's always that one genius who's like, the rules don't apply to me. I'm special.
Yeah, you know? The guy who doesn't want to fall in line.
We're all out here getting it done.
Yep.
Every time I go to a dock and there's some king of the tiny kingdom, you know, big fish in a little pond, and that's their domain, and they want to be a jerk about it. It's like, man, I'm trying to do your job. You're trying to do my job. They don't pay me enough to get upset about this.
Right.
You're going to yell and scream and spit. I don't make enough money to care. So, yep. Like, either you're going to unload me or you're not, or we're just... Oh, you want me to back in here, back in there, whatever? I guess signs cost $1 million because you could have put a sign that said truck entrance,
right?
Or, you know, trucks go here or whatever. But apparently, if I ever retire from trucking, I'm going into the sign business, sell $1 million signs. They're so expensive. That's why you can never see. You always go somewhere and it's like, where do I go? Is this the place?
Yes.
This company has no listing on the internet. They didn't give me a phone number. There's no directions. There's no address. And there's no sign. And it's just a blank building. Am I at the right place? I don't know.
We'll find out.
Yeah, I guess I'll find out. This, when you're not a line hauler and every place you go is different, you know, it's always an adventure like that to just try and figure out where this place is. Because every time you ask for directions, it's all like, oh, especially where I am. Oh, you just got to go down to where that big maple tree fell over in the great storm of 88. And then you turn right back at old man Johnson's house where it used to be before it burned down, you know. And just last week at my job, somebody's like, oh, I couldn't find an account that I had to look up and charge somebody. And they're like, no, oh, it's under his wife's maiden name because the account was from before they got married. I'm like, well, I didn't know her in high school. You know, she's 60 years old. She hasn't gone by that for 40 years.
Yeah.
But that's how it is in the kind of small town. Everybody just knows everything. So they don't, right. They just assume. And then you get, and I feel even worse for these guys who barely speak English because they're coming in here. They don't know what the hell.
Yep.
And then everyone's mad at them, but they don't know where anything is or what anything is. And then there's no signs and they just kind of have to guess.
Yep. So, good luck.
Yeah, good luck. It's one of my pet peeves because if you're going to get so mad about a truck coming in here the wrong way, it must happen 8 times a day because you got no damn sign.
Yeah.
Why are you getting so upset? Why don't just write on a piece of cardboard, truck here, you know?
Truck entrance. And
then you wouldn't be so upset all the time. Anyway, now that really grinds my gears. I'm getting all worked up. I calm down.
I remember I did a delivery. I went to this one place for the first time. And when I got there, I had a hard time finding it because they didn't have a sign out front. And in the Philly area, everybody has signs, you know, it's not like there. And, but it was like a small industrial complex where the trucks came in off the road at one spot. And then like all the docks are back there and you just find out what dock you need to hit. And this place didn't have an updated sign. It was the old building. So I finally found it. I back in, I'm going in, I'm talking to the guys. And the guy who I was talking to kind of was like, in charge back there, but he's in charge of like the warehouse and receiving and shipping. So I'm thinking to myself, he's a safe person to talk to. I'm pretty sure he ran the entire facility. And so when I was like, yeah, the guys running this place, man, not having a sign. I mean, and I just started talking to him and like, he was so nice until that point. And then he just kind of got real cold with me. And then I think I found out that he actually goes to church with the terminal manager. It was just like, but ever since then, like, every time I went in and stuff, like him and I would have good conversations and stuff. But that first time of running into him, it wasn't the, I think
stick your foot in your mouth time.
Cause I thought it was like one of those things where it's like, you know, well, let's talk about your employer and how bad they are right now. You know? And he's like, I'm the employer.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. They got some real bozo running this place. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's me.
Yeah. You know, sticking my foot in my mouth usually happens at least 5 to 10 times a year. You know, it's like the curse of somebody who just blabs without thinking, you know, like I'm most of the time I'm good. And everybody just loves, you know, cause I have good conversation and all that stuff. But then sometimes, you know, it catches up to you.
It comes back to bite you in the butt.
Big
and
time.
Then one time the lady was like, if you don't do it right, I'm going to ban you from this site. You're never coming back here again. And I'm like, lady, that's not a threat the way you guys run this place. Like,
I'll send you
my employer can't send me here anymore. No, give it to some other schmuck.
Yeah. Yeah. How about it?
On the totem pole compared to these old, cause I work at one of these companies where everybody's in their 60s and everything like that. I'm only 46. So these guys won't go into Seattle or anything like that. They won't go to these big cities. So I always get those kind of gigs that the other guys won't take because I'll take them because I don't care. You know, it's a pain in the butt, but I can handle it. I can handle a big city. So You know, when I was in the mines, I had to get my MSHA. This is like OSHA for mining, and you have to go get this certification every year, and you have to take a class, and they make you like review all the accidents. There's one terrible accident where a guy was in a porta potty and he got run over by one of those haul trucks, you know, and it made that porta potty just flat like a burrito or something like that. They showed us a picture of the porta potty, not of the contents, but it was a terrible, terrible way to go. Cause you got your pants around your ankles and everything like that. Horrible accident. I'm sure the guy felt terrible who did it. But one time I was getting trained for my MSHA by this really old timer. And he had worked in Virginia City, Nevada, which is a silver mining area, in the 1960s. And he told us this story about how the original silver rush, the Comstock rush, was in 1860. Mm-hmm. And they had a mine fire down there underground. And that's obviously very dangerous because it consumes all the oxygen. Well, what they did is they just bricked up the mine. They just sealed it up. And just forgot about it. Never went down that passageway again. Well, this old timer in 1960, he was working in the mine when they busted through into that old mine where the fire had been. And he said that as soon as they busted down that wall, that air rushed in and all those timbers just burst into flames because that fire had been smoldering in a no oxygen and low oxygen environment for 100 years.
Wow.
And it just burst into flames when they let the air back into that place. And that was a pretty amazing story that I heard from an old timer. I know that I think in Pennsylvania, you got some coal fire that's been burning for like 60 years.
Yeah. Centralia. There. Yeah.
Yeah. Is that where it is?
Yep, Centralia. Centralia. Yep.
Yeah. So like Centralia, they say is still on fire. It's under the ground. Mm-hmm. And
coal mine.
Last I checked, I think the population of Centralia was 8 people.
And yeah,
8 people.
Yeah, it's just
people. The payday candy bars there, didn't they?
These are people who, you know, were born there, decided not to leave because I don't think anybody can buy property in Centralia.
Yeah, it's probably a super fun cleanup site or something like that. There's like a love canal up there, you know. Yeah, like a cheap property.
Yeah, I wonder why it's so cheap.
I wonder why it's so cheap.
What a deal.
I had a friend who found this really cheap apartment in a warehouse, and he got there and the guy's like, yeah, they make mace in this building, so we're gonna have to put on masks and goggles before we go into the apartment. Wow, $40 bucks a month.
So cheap.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's great.
Oh, you know, when I was telling my stories last time about my time in Elko, I know I dumped on it a little bit, but there was just an amazing cast of characters there. And I didn't even get to them all because, in addition to like, Larry Moe and Curly, there was this other guy named, they call him Sammy No Toes because he didn't have any toes. And, he would stuff Kleenex in his boots so his boots fit. He's actually a really great guy to work with, but he had gotten in some kind of drug deal that went bad, and they took him out in the middle of the desert in the wintertime, and he had to walk back without, you know, they took his shoes, and he had to walk back barefooted out of that desert. He lost all his toes due to frostbite. So they got no Sammy No Toes over here, you know, with the Kleenex in his boots. And then the Three Stooges themselves, that guy Curly Stooge, man, his initials were JD, and he was so stupid. We worry a lot about self-driving trucks taking over our jobs. Right. This guy's always going to have a job because, as far as I know, nobody's working on artificial stupidity. they're working on artificial intelligence. Until they invent the artificial stupidity, this guy's always going to have a trucking job. But one of the other ones that I didn't get to was Jimmy Whoopchicken. Jimmy Whoopchicken, Nevada State Prison number 120-6660. Give him that shout out. Stay strong, brother. Next time you steal paint gun from work to buy meth, you got to flip that meth so you can get that thing out of hock, or else they're going to find out about it. If you smoke that meth, then you're not going to be able to get your paint gun back from work, back from the pawn shop. But anyway, he told me this story. I wasn't used to these meth amphibians, man. They are crazy. They live in a different world, and they're always doing all kinds of wacky schemes or whatever. But he told me this story about when he was stealing meth. And he said that he had this lady who would come over next for, it was his next door neighbor. She would come over and, every day she would buy a little bit of meth and she would put it in a piece of toilet paper. She would roll it up and she would swallow it. And that's how she got high every day. And, who knows why she did that. I don't know anything about this, but he said that one day he didn't have any meth to sell. And she comes over and she's begging for her meth. And he notices that one of his roommates had broken a lava lamp recently. And he notices that lava, that it's like wax. It's a wax product inside that. And he noticed it was like sparkly and white and kind of shiny. So he's like, he's a crooked guy. He's a meth dealer after all. So I'll just sell her a little bit of that lava lamp wax. And she'll never know the difference, you know? So he sells her this lava lamp wax. She eats it. She comes back the next day. She's like, oh, that was the best stuff you ever gave me, man. That's so high. She's like, give me some more of that. So he sold her this entire lava lamp worth of wax. And she's just getting high. Oh, whoa, whoa. And when he ran out of the lava lamp, he started selling her meth again. She started complaining. She's like, this stuff isn't as good as the stuff before, man. I wish I had some of that stuff before. That was the fire.
What the heck?
What the heck is in lava lamps?
I don't know. I don't know what's in there. Wow.
It seems like we might have ourselves another business plan here.
I'm getting a lava lamp business is what I do.
Well, these kids today with their Tide Pods and their milk crate challenges or whatever, it's only a matter of time before they're eating the lava lamps.
Yeah. Well, now that you said it on the show, I think it's definitely a guaranteed thing.
It's going to happen.
Don't eat lava lamp. There was a guy who got killed trying to heat up a lava lamp on a stove because it exploded. So, you know, it's a sealed glass thing. So don't mess around with lava lamps. They're just they're very dangerous. Just stare at them.
That's our PSA. Don't eat lava lamps.
Yeah.
Don't go and say, oh, Hammerlane Legends told me to eat a lava lamp.
Right.
You know, you remember how when you were like a teenager, people were like, oh, if you smoke banana peels, they get real high or whatever. It's like, well, you know, if it was good, people would be doing it. They're not
exactly
doing it.
Right. So and bananas would be a lot more expensive.
You got the stuff. You got the bananas. Yeah, man, I'll give you a discount on a bunch.
You got that yellow good.
You got that good. I got that Chiquita, man. Yeah, they'd be pulling you. They'd be walking down the street, you know, selling it.
Yes, you got that right.
I don't know. All of this stuff, like I said, if it was any good, people would be doing it. That's why right. You got your tried and true alcohols. Never let me down. Imagine if it was illegal, you'd be like, man, this stuff is weak, man. You know, and that's what happened, I guess, during Prohibition.
Right.
People were putting all kinds in the Wild West. They would put like all kinds of they take whiskey, but then they throw like strychnine in there or something, battery acid or whatever, anything to make it kick you.
Yep.
You know, give me that one that tastes like vitriol and bumblebee stings, you know, and then they'd be all buzzing on it.
That's the stuff right there.
That's the stuff. Oh, man, I had to drive the crew bus for a while. And this was a stride-wide shift. This is the worst freaking job in the world. I had to get up in the morning. I worked 8 to 12. I get off work for 8 hours, and then I'd work 8 to 12 again, and then I get off work for 8 hours, and I just had to do that 7 days a week. I call it a stride-wide shift because you're working 4 hours, and then you're off 8, then 4 hours, then off 8, and like that around the clock. And it was maddening because I had to drive it's a 2-hour drive to the mine. I had to drive the crew there and back. And then it drove me crazy because you never get any sleep. You never have a weekend. You never have a day off. You're just every 8 hours, you got to go back to work. You only work for 4 hours, but then every 8 hours, you got to go back to work, and it messes with your brain. And I know there's a lot of jobs like this. School bus drivers do it. The people who deliver the mail often do it. Not mailmen, but like the people who are running the truck, the mail trucks back and forth. Sometimes they have a strikeway shift, and it is tough. It's real tough. But anyway, they give me the breathalyzer, and these guys, not just meth amphibians, but all the, you know, all the random detritus of human beings who show up for these mine shutdowns, they give me the breathalyzer. And if anybody was visibly drunk, I'd have to breathalyze them. Mm-hmm. And they would have this, there's a big Department of Energy coal and energy project down in Arizona that's part of it's kind of a native tribe that works there a lot, and it's kind of a joint operation between the federal government and this tribe because it kind of gives them employment and stuff like that. Well, I don't want to say what tribe it is, but if you guessed it, I wouldn't deny it, if you know what I'm saying. Anybody who's out west know what I'm talking about. So these Indians would sometimes they'd wash out of that mine or where they were kicked out of there for whatever reason, and they would just go on the temporary circuit like a journeyman. And so these guys would show up, and we'd have a whole crew of them, and they would go change conveyor belts and stuff like that in the mines. Well, we had a man camp on, obviously, where some of the people stay. And one day, it's time to go to work. It's 8 a.m. or whatever. I got the bus there. These two brothers, they show up for work. They're completely covered in blood. Like, they're just all bashed up, and their scalp is split, and their blood's dripping down their face. They got blood all down the front of their shirt. It's like, are you okay, dude? And they're like, no, we're fine. We're ready to work. And it's like, no, you're not. You're not ready to work. You're covered in blood. And what had happened was they had gotten drunk the night before, gotten so wasted that they got in a fight, it beat the shit out of each other. And then they just passed out, and then just woke up and was like, oh, time to go to work. And they didn't realize, neither of them realized that they were looking at each other, you know, like that they were all bloody. So it's like, no, I don't think you're fit to work covered in blood, dude. So wow. that was definitely one of the highlights. And, you know, we just wanted warm bodies. We just wanted people to sweep and shovel rocks and stuff like that. So that's why you get not just the meth amphibians, but also anybody, alcoholics and things sure. like that. So
it sounds like just about every polls. Industry that is hurting today. Now,
today, yeah.
I mean, seriously, yeah. I mean,
it sounds like 2021.
Wait until you know, the trucking industry gets so desperate that it will just hire anyone. It's like drug tests, get those out of my sight. Don't want them around this company anymore.
Right.
Because we'll just take anybody who says that they can push a pedal and turn the wheel and shift.
I think I was reading something about them wanting to start, you know, 18-year-old truck drivers.
Wow.
Instead of 21. Damn. Yeah.
Wow. Which, you know, I'm not totally against in the sense that we have no problem sending our 18-year-olds off to war to go die and
shoot a gun,
shoot and kill right. other people.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, it's also,
let's not forget that a good 18-year-old is better than a dumbass 40-year-old any day of the week, and vice versa. And yeah, kids have less experience. There's something somebody told me that really stuck with me is like, when you start out trucking, they hand you a bag of luck and an empty bag of experience.
Yes.
And your goal is to fill that bag with experience before you run out of luck. Because you only get so many second chances.
Yes.
You've got to be putting that experience in that bag while that luck bag is running out. And so one day, if you don't fill that experience bag, that bag of luck will run out. And
yes.
That's when you're.
And then flat. You are, what's the old term? I'm going to say it. Shit out of luck.
Yeah.
Shit out of luck. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. <Seriously. laughs> Yeah. But that's true.
Someone yeah. walk in the door and take his shoes off. Yeah, so one of these old guys did that thing that I mentioned before, where he went on this bender down at the whorehouses, and he didn't show up on Monday. Well, he comes back in, and he's like, I got slipped a Mickey. And who knows if he's telling the truth or not, but this would happen quite a bit, where they'd get the check. You make like a $3,000 a week check. You go down to the whorehouses, and then by Monday, they wouldn't have any money left. You know, because they just rook them. They'd get them to buy drinks, buy drugs, and you know, just take them for everything that they had. I don't know if they were putting Mickeys in their or you know drugs in their drinks or not, but he claimed that he had been slipped a Mickey down in this whorehouse, and that's why he didn't come in on Monday, and that's why he was going to fail a drug test if they gave him one. And it's like, I don't know, dude. That kind of sounds like you're making up an excuse in advance of when you're going to get caught. But but the funny thing about that guy, we would always put him on hole watch. This is this job that you put the supposed to be a very important job where if somebody goes in a hole, you have to like stand there and make sure they don't die. And so he was always so useless and sleeping on the job that we just put him on, you know, just make him sit there and he could pretend to do hole watch. And so but the thing is, he had like like 9 fingers. He was like missing one of his fingers. And he had gotten in a domestic violence dispute, or had gotten accused of domestic violence, of strangulation. You know, it's a special charge in DV. And so he had gotten charged with this domestic violence of strangulation. Well, the evidence, the picture of the bruises on the woman's neck, had 10 fingers because the woman had gotten together with her boyfriend or whatever and decided to frame him for strangulation, not realizing that he was missing one of his fingers. Wow. So the way he got off, was that he only had 9 fingers, and he showed the judge. He's like, nope, like one thing, you know?
Wow.
So yeah, I don't know. That was, you remember I was saying that we had that board, you know, on high bail and everything. Like, that was a pretty one. That guy walked, though. It wasn't him. He got framed.
Wow.
So and Wade pulled it, Wade proved it, missing the finger. But there was another guy who was like 20 years old, 6 foot tall, kind of a handsome guy, you know, but he also went to go get a hooker. And I couldn't believe this, because, like, you know, it's like George Costanza in Parking, you know, why should I pay for parking? If I just apply myself a little bit, I can get it for free.
Right.
You know, and the same goes with a guy who's like 20 years old. I'm like, man, go to the bar, dance with some ladies, you know, right. Buy a drink,
buy a drink or two.
Be a nice guy. Clean your shirt. I mean, it's easy. You just have to put yourself out there. Don't go down to these whorehouses and pay for it. It's expensive too. I don't know how much it is, but it's pricey. And but anyway, he goes and he gets this prostitute. She gives him this pill. She's like, here, take this pill. We'll have a good time. And whatever that pill was, he was like, he thought he was going to die. He was like, you know, he's tripping out and he stops the whole thing, and he goes and he calls 911. He gets an ambulance ride to the hospital and gets a stomach pump. And it cost him that whole $3,000 check to get a stomach pumped in that ride to the hospital. Well, then he's like, I need to get a drug test to figure out what I took. The drug test comes up clean. It wasn't even, you know, there wow. wasn't even any of the regular drugs. Maybe it was that lava lamp.
Viagra.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
She just wanted to make sure she was going to have a good time.
So, yeah, I mean, this is what it is. It's just a cascade of bad ideas. Like, first of all, what are you doing in a whorehouse? You're 20 years old. Go to a bar. And then like, oh, you're going to take a random pill that somebody gives you, a mystery pill, you know?
I don't even know if I trust my wife with that.
Then when it screws you up, then you're going to be like, oh, I'm experiencing the effects of a drug. I have to go to the hospital. And so, like, yeah, it was, I was always shaking my head at that one.
So did he get in trouble? Did he lose his job because he admitted that he had a drug in his system?
No, because like I said, these guys, it was so hard to find warm bodies that it was just like, okay, dude, well, we'll just, keep him away from the equipment, you know, like here, make him go sweep up or something like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, he didn't lose his job, but he did. We did kind of get a demotion down to a dangerous individual.
But I mean, think about that though. I mean, think about the paycheck.
$3,000.
$3,000. Is that a week?
Yeah. When we were doing the mine shutdowns, we were working straight 12s, 7 days a week. You'd generally come home with about $3,000 a week.
Wow.
And these guys would blow that money. They'd be gone by Monday.
That's crazy.
I mean, holy cow.
You're 20 years old, you're stupid with your money. I can see it. A lot of these guys would go out and get truck loans. But man, you could just sock it away. You got no bills, right?
Yeah.
You're living with your parents. You got no, you know, you got no kids to feed.
You don't have a wife you have to worry about. Yeah. Away. It's like, what? No.
That's crazy. I mean, cause like, what is that? Like 160 grand a year or something like that? 52 times?
Now, you're not making that money the whole time, just during shutdown.
Just during shutdown.
That's big freaking money.
Yeah, I mean, like you could heck really, you know, improve your life in a big way with that kind of paycheck.
In a short amount of time.
Sure. Yeah. Or what a lot of people do out here is they'll come and they'll work the sugar beet season. They'll work these 12-hour shifts around the clock. They'll make a big chunk of change, and then they'll just coast. You just take that money and just chill out. Just sit around, you know, take it easy for 6 months, and then maybe get some construction work or something like that, make a little chunk of chain, and then just coast. That's why I always tell guys to get CDLs, because it's like, man, you say you don't want to be a trucker, but man, say you don't want to be a trucker, but you want $10,000, just go work the harvest.
Right.
Drive that beat truck around in the field. It's easy as hell. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be in traffic or anything like that. You're just going back and forth and get under the machine. The thing dumps it in there. You go back, you know, just keep that in your pocket. And then, and then you can have that money, that source of money, and then you take it easy. Don't be a trucker.
Right.
But we would always we needed that driver so bad that we'd be like, look, we will let you use a company truck to test it. We will train you. We will pay your fees at the DMV. And then once you get the CDL, we'll give you a raise. And they'd be like, well, I don't wanna. I don't make enough money, but I don't wanna apply myself or work hard.
That's unbelievable.
You know, it's yeah. It's like, dude, we're holding your hand on this whole thing. Yep. We're gonna give you everything you need to get more money, and then we're gonna give you a raise if you just do it. And they'd be like, I don't wanna be a truck driver. Well, then you're going to be a broke ass, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah.
I didn't want to be a truck driver, but I got tired of being a broke ass.
Right. I think probably more than 50% of the industry didn't grow up wanting to be truckers, right. You know,
but yeah.
It's just like, you know, you, at some point you're like, I hear you make good money. I think I'd enjoy at least driving a little bit. Let's give it a shot, you know?
Or at least I'd enjoy making more money.
Yeah. I mean, like, and that's the thing. I mean, like, it's like, I don't want to be a truck driver. So what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm just working at, you know, whatever. Like I'm working at the local wood shop, you know, just cutting boards that get turned into cabinets. Well, I mean, like, did you grow up dreaming about that?
I mean, right.
Yeah. I work at the Verizon Wireless kiosk in the mall.
In the mall.
Yeah. I mean, and there's nothing wrong with those jobs. And stuff. It's
not
just
at all.
It's just the attitude of, well, I don't want to be a truck driver. Mm-hmm. But
that's
then,
not what I want to do.
Like, as if like that's settling for their life, you know, like they're settling on some kind of big goal for their life. But then they turn around and they punch the clock on Monday at the local wood mill, you know, at the sawmill. It's just like, come on, man. Like, it's just the ambition, I think. It's the intimidation that some people have a hard time getting past, you know, these big trucks and all that stuff. Yeah. And then, you know, the willingness to sacrifice your life in a sense to the industry, because I mean, it's a lot of long hours.
It is what it is.
That's the killer. You're selling your body. Yeah. You really are.
Yep.
Just like these hardworking ladies in the whorehouse, you're selling your body to the company. There's definitely been a stigmatization of the trades recently. Everybody thought, you know, if everybody just goes to college, there won't be any more plumbers and carpenters anymore or whatever. And, that was a stupid thing to do, because obviously these are the essential services, as we call them. And so those are the guys who are still working and making money, and all those guys with those philosophy degrees and media stuff, you know, it's just not as necessary. So when the hard times hit, it's the trades that end up on top.
Yeah.
You know, this,
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, even with that, I mean, like the guys who are going to school for, you know, technology degrees and media degrees or whatever, like that kind of stuff in the long run, this kind of harkens off of what we talked about last week a little bit. Those things are definitely replaceable through technology. And so, it's just, I think there's so much security in being able to do something with your hands.
If you can work from home, then they can get a robot to work for you.
Yeah,
that's right.
because obviously you don't need to be there for the job to happen.
Right.
Whereas that's the thing. Bartending. My wife's a bartender. That's why I drink soda water. But stay away from that high fructose corn poison, all you guys out there. Like, that stuff will make you fat and give you high blood pressure. But anyway, and diabetes. Yep. But my bartender is another job that's never going to be replaced by a robot. You can make a robot that can tend bar, but that's not the true purpose of a bartender. The true purpose of a bartender is to be a kind face and a sympathetic ear.
Yes.
Keep that liquor flowing, you know your drink, that kind of thing. It's a job. It's just a job that's never going away. Maybe in the end of the day, 20 years, the only jobs left are going to be bartenders. Even the hookers will be replaced by robots.
Oh, that's definitely happening. Those sex bots that are coming out now. So
what could go wrong? I can't think of anything that could possibly go wrong.
Sex with no repercussions.
out here where it's legal, they'll get on the CB. So you'd be driving past Winnemucca or something like that. They'll come on the CB. They'd be like, come on in, boys. You know, trying to lure people in.
Right.
Come pick something up you can take home to your wife.
yeah. That's not the kind of present I was hoping to take home.
yeah. We call them puddle splashers, because you know they go to the truck stops and then they get out of one truck, they squat over a puddle, splash splash splash, then they get into the next truck, you know, and then they just go down the line puddle splashing.
I just gotta say this, when you first described the whole watcher job, That is what it was. Is not what I was thinking. It was in my head. I'm just like, this is not. Don't go there.
Right, so watcher.
Yeah, I mean, I'm, you know, thinking this has got to be a job at the whorehouse. You know,
right.
You know what I'm saying? It's just, I'm trying to be discreet, but that's what's running through my own head. I'm just like, God, where's this going?
No, trust me, I'm not making it up. Whole watch is a legitimate job. It's an important job. I tried to take it seriously when I did it, but it's not what you think.
You need to. I mean, that's the kind of job where, you know, you're paying attention to what somebody's doing literally in a hole, and you're like, well, if they need me, I better be awake.
Yeah. It's one of those things where it seems really stupid, and then people don't take it seriously, but it is actually very important.
Like manscaping.
Indeed, like manscaping. Good segue, Dad. That's a good segue. Manscaped is a sponsor of this show on a trial basis. So we are brought to you today by Manscaped. And what is Manscaped? It is a company that came out with some amazing trimmers that will change your life for the better. They started out with, you know, the whole, you know, lawnmower. Right now they just came out with the lawnmower 4.0, which is like the new and improved trimmer for below the waist.
Yeah.
And that is a product that has been tweaked over the years, and it's just getting better and better as it goes. And I've been a customer of Manscaped for years now, and so I'm actually really excited that we're working with them. But also they have the weed whacker, which I demonstrated on last week's show,
right,
on my nose.
Yes, you did.
And if you follow us on Instagram, you actually got to see the video of me trimming my nose too,
which is awesome.
Yeah,
you know? that's what I've always used social media to see.
Right. Yeah. I mean, social media is a lot of things these days, that's true. You know, watching people shave themselves is one of them, I guess. So, but they have the weed whacker.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, listen, once you hit a certain age, you need to be able to trim the hair in certain areas that just weren't a problem when you were younger.
Just never had before.
Yeah, it wasn't a problem. Yeah. And I started noticing over the last, I'd say, I don't know, 5 years or so, that I had an issue with wiry hair growing out of my ears.
Welcome to the club.
I remember seeing my high school art teacher, and his eyebrows were crazy all over the place. He had wiry hair coming out of his ears. I'm just like, what a weirdo. Like, who has wiry hair growing out of their ears? Right. Apparently it's an old man thing.
Yeah.
And
you're becoming an old man.
I'm being brought into the club. And self-grooming is something that I as a truck driver, it's just like, whatever. I'm just in a truck by myself. I don't care.
Right.
And so I started plucking hair on my own. And so instead of like trimming it and, you know, trying to look like a respectable human being, I would be driving down the highway and just reaching in my ear, pinching hair and just ripping it out. And sometimes it was like really growing deep in my ear.
Yeah. And it hurts.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, that one hurt, you know? And, even my earlobes are starting to get hairy.
Yes.
And I noticed that when I'm just shaving my beard and trimming it up around my mustache, that you're looking more closely at your nostrils, and the hair is just creeping out
hanging
of my nose.
Out,
yeah. Yeah. And it's just so like, you're taking like a trimmer that's not meant for it, and you're trying to get up there on an angle and trim around your nostrils.
Or a pair of scissors.
Yeah, and clipping like your skin on the inside of your nose, and your eyes start watering.
Yeah.
No more with the weed whacker. The weed whacker will trim your nose hairs, your ear hairs.
Easily. Yeah.
I mean,
no pain involved, which is beautiful.
Yeah.
Your mom used to pluck my ear hair.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It hurt.
Yeah. So you actually know like,
oh, wait, just sit still. You got a hair. she'd just grab it and pull it out of my, I'm like, ah, and I'm driving. I'm like, what are you doing?
I think I remember her doing that. I think I remember seeing her do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and so now I know that pain, and it's a lot more comfortable to have the proper tools in the tool kit for personal grooming. And like I said, I used to just be like, oh, just plucked it and
caveman.
Like, I'm serious. Like, I used to reach up my nose and pluck my nose hairs, and that the talk
That's
about
really
make your
painful.
Eyes water.
Yeah.
I'm just like, yank, woo, that hurts, you know. But you don't gotta do that anymore with Manscaped, friends. There's a lot of great products with Manscaped. The like I said, the weed whacker, the lawnmower, which is below the waist, but they also got a lot of lotions for below the waist as well. They also got t-shirts, boxers, bunch of cool stuff.
And you know, if you're not into shaving below the waist, you can always use your the lawnmower for your face.
Yeah. And your head.
On your beard and your head.
Nice close trim. And so Here's the call to action, friends.
Here it is.
You can get 20% off and free shipping with the code HAMMERLANE at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use promo code HAMMERLANE. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.
That's right.
Manscaped is where it's at. So go ahead and hit them up. Manscaped.com. Use the promo code HAMMERLANE and get yourself some great deals. 20% off. And it's Christmas time, friends, right around the corner.
Yes,
so for me, December's Christmas and birthdays. My son's in Christmas and Lindsay's in
December.
Yep. And I'm thinking I don't need to get Lindsay Manscaped.
No,
I don't think she'd appreciate that.
Well, she might use it. Maybe she's got nose hair you don't know about.
Maybe, but listen, manscaped.com, use promo code HAMMERLANE, 20% off and free shipping.
And boost your confidence.
Johnny, after that long one, tell us another story.
One time I came across an upside down Dodge Charger in the middle of the highway. I was going south from Boise, and there's like 150 miles till you get down to Winnemucca or whatever, down to Elko. And it's just, there's nothing out there. There's no cell phone service. There's no towns. There's an Indian reservation out there, but it was probably a good 7,500 miles in between any features whatsoever, any town, any road, any gas station, anything. And in the middle of that stretch of nowhere, in the middle of the night, I came across a brand new Dodge Charger with the stickers on it, upside down in the middle of the highway. And I stopped, put my flashers on, and got out. And I thought I was about to find a mangled up body. It had clearly rolled several times. And I was looking around in the bushes for the body, and I didn't find anything. And I'm thinking, man, what is going on here? And then I noticed that the driver's side window glass had been punched out right there after the car had come to a stop, because all that glass was still there on the ground. And that told me that the driver had their seatbelt on and had survived, and that they had punched their way out of the car, and then they had skedaddled out of there. Who knows where they went, whether they walked or hitchhiked or whatever. But they normally, when there's an accident, you call the cops get the car off the middle of the highway and everything like that. Well, this had not happened, because clearly this was a person who was drunk, and they didn't want to be, you know, they didn't want to be caught. So they had just walked out of there and left their car in the middle of the highway for me to run into. Fortunately, I saw it, but there wasn't anything I could do except call 911. I mean, or call the, you know, county. I usually call the non-emergency number when it's not an emergency, but you know, there wasn't anything I could do except just put my triangles out and hope nobody else came blasting down that road drunk. Mm-hmm. But
you could always,
that was one of the, it was, yeah.
I was going to say, you could always go through the car before you call the police and just see if there's anything good to put in your truck.
Oh, no. I've been down that road before. I don't want my fingerprints all over that stuff.
There you go.
You know,
that's what I
did that one time when I found a car that had obviously been jacked and then left under a bridge. And I was like, oh, I'll see if there's anything good in here. And then I realized I'm getting my fingerprints all over a crime scene. Mm-hmm. Like, I shouldn't do that.
Not a good idea.
Especially now that I got my TWIC and they got that stuff on file. You right. know, they took it. My days of crime, my life of crime is over. I don't, I'm trying to go straight and narrow these days. I'm an old man. That doesn't look good. That party looks good on Saturday night. It doesn't look good Sunday morning.
You got that right.
You know, so yeah, that was an incident, I think, where somebody had gotten a big check and they've gotten a brand new Dodge Charger, and mm-hmm. they had gone out and gotten drunk, and then they decided to drive home and rolled it, and they were lucky to be alive. And I was lucky I didn't come across some mangled up body.
Wow. But, you got that seriously. Right.
It was just weird by its location. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just in the middle of nowhere. But you know, some people get a little bit of money and go hog wild. That's why the lottery kills people.
Yes.
That guy was shooting crossbow bolts into his own wall in his mansion after he won the lottery, and he hit a live wire and went to go pull the bolt out of the wall and shocked himself to death.
You know, it's like, man.
If he hadn't won the lottery, that wouldn't happen. He'd still be alive. But
that's geez. Right.
You know. Yeah, you know, with the people with the lottery and stuff, it's like, you know, I have a hard time at some time, like when you first think about it, you're like, how can they blow through all that money and be poor again? And then And then you just start thinking about times that maybe you got a bonus check and it didn't last as long as you thought it would last because you're like, yeah. Oh, let me get this, that, and the other. And just imagine that times a billion. And it's just like, you feel like you're on top of the world because you have an endless supply of money, but without the comprehension that, no, it's not endless if you blow through it.
Yeah. It's still a finite amount. Yeah.
That, a lot of football players have, and pro basketball players, things like that happens to you too. Yeah. 5 years after they get out, they're broke, dead broke, because they don't have that financial literacy. This is also the thing with lottery too. It's like you can't inject someone with financial literacy to where you give them a big chunk of money. It's like giving a junkie a big pile of drugs. Like they cannot handle it, and it's going to end up with their death. Yeah. And also your friends will start to, you know, break into your house because I think you got cash laying around or something like that. Or, you know, it's I mean, I think that I can handle it. I feel like I've been preparing my whole life. Because I identify as a rich person, even though I'm
even though you're not. Body, yeah, I'm with you.
You know, and so like I feel like I've been preparing my whole life for that windfall. But then some people, I've seen it happen to friends of mine and things like that. They get a little bit of money and then it ruins their life.
Yeah, it's a shame. It's amazing.
Either somebody sidling up to you trying to get you to get some cocaine or something like that, and then you get an addiction, or you. You end up, somebody murders you because they think you got 20 grand and hiding in your house somewhere or something like that. I wanted to tell another old man story. I was working with an old guy on a recent job, and he told me this story about this asphalt paver where it back in the olden days, right now they have like a big rotating drum that grinds up the asphalt. And he said that back in the day, though, that's not how they did it. They hadn't invented that machine yet. So what they did was they had a blade with torches on it. Mm-hmm. And this blade would just creep along really slow. It's like a bulldozer blade. You know, creep along really slow. And they would just take torches and they just burn that asphalt till it was hot. And it became really viscous, and they'd scrape it up. And then they'd scoop it up with a bucket, and then they throw it in a truck or whatever. Mm-hmm. This is what he was doing. Well, he said that this machine was so slow that every time it made a pass on the road, the operator would stick it into reverse and it would start backing up to go make another pass. And then he'd get off the machine and he'd go get a cold glass of water because it's really hot. And he'd drink that cold water and walk down to where the machine was, and he'd get back on again, throw it in forward, and he'd scrape another pass of the road. Well, they had blocked off this piece of road that they were doing with Jersey barriers, K-rail, whatever you want to call them. And this lady came along. This is like in the 60s. This lady comes in along, and she's driving like a Corvair. And she comes along, and the road is closed. And she goes around the Jersey barriers and down into the ditch and comes back up into the road. And she drives along the road till she gets behind that scraping machine. Mm-hmm. Well, the guy has set it to come back and make another pass. It's creeping backwards at like 1 mile an hour. And she's honking her horn, not realizing there's nobody driving it. He's over there getting a cold glass of water. She's honking her horn, honk, 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 honk. And this thing just keeps coming closer and closer. And it just hits the front of her car and just crawls up on it and just crushes the car. And she jumped out of there, and that thing just flattened her car. And you know, she's mad as hell, but it's like, what can you do? You drove around a Jersey barrier into a construction site. You know, like whose fault is that, lady?
Right.
And completely crushed your car. I saw a cab one time in Chicago fall into a hole. There was a construction zone. There was a big pit where they were redoing the sewer, and it was a rainy day. It filled up the pit completely, so it looked like a flat road. Well, the traffic's really bad. This cab driver thinks he's going to take a shortcut. He cuts through the construction zone, and he hit what he thought was a puddle. It turned out to be a 6-foot pit, and he drove his cab down in that hole. Same sort of thing. Don't drive in construction zones.
Right.
There's always a reason that cone is there. You know,
it's
you don't know
for a reason. Yes.
Yeah, you don't know if there's a hole, if there's rebar, like you don't know, but he found out too. And we are safe because we know there's a system of rules that means that the road is going to be this wide, and the curve is going to be this sharp, and the speed limit's going to be appropriate for the road. These are all a system of rules that have been put in place. Once it's a construction zone, those rules are no longer in place.
That's right.
It's blocked off from traffic, so there might be a bulldozer there, or there might be a pit or spikes or something like that. Mm-hmm. So it's very, very dangerous to do that. But see, people do it all the time when there's traffic. They'll cut into the construction zone and zip out. Man, you're crazy, man. You're going to end up with a bolt in your tire or a big piece of concrete or something like that.
Rebar going up through the floor.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Through your legs.
Yeah.
You know, all that. Yeah.
It can.
Yeah, do you see that party recently where that guy got impaled driving around a festival where he ran over a tree branch and the branch came up through the floor of his Jeep? You know, he ran over a branch and went up through the floor of his Jeep and it pinned him to the chair, went through his abdomen and pinned him to the seat.
Wow.
You know, it's one of those things where you think, I mean, you think you'd be fine driving over a tree, but not if it hits at the right angle.
Boy, you got that right. That's rough. That's a rough
guy.
He lived.
Yeah, he lived. Yeah. But they had to they had to come in there with chainsaws, cut both halves of the tree off so they could take him to the hospital and then get it out, you know?
Wow.
My word.
Yeah. Yeah. Look that one up. It was recent news. Before we go, I do want to clear up a couple of issues here. I know that the poo is one of the most important pieces of discussion on your show. It's a running theme. When I was in trucking school, they taught us that if you are in your truck and you have to poop in a bag, mm-hmm. you tie that bag off and you're driving down the road. If you're going to throw it out the window, you got to throw it hard enough to clear that stack because there's that hot muffler sitting right there.
Yes.
And if that plastic bag hits that muffler, it's going to melt on there and it's going to be cooking right there. And then you'd be smelling it all day long because it's right by your head. So just another public service announcement from Flatbed Johnny. If you poop in a bag, throw it wide. Throw it way wide. You know, and it's always a good idea to double bag kids as well. I don't know if this has ever come up on the show, but do you know about the guys who cut the sawzall hole in the cab? Do you know about these guys? There's team drivers. There's a certain kind of team driver that'll do this.
And they poop out on the road while they're driving?
Yeah, I
heard about this.
Yes.
Ask anybody who works at Speedco, because these guys will come in for a service. And tire guys know about this, too. They don't want to stop and poop in the truck stop in those luxurious bathrooms. They want to save that $3. It's going to cost them. And they're just going to sawzall a hole in the bottom of the cab. They're going to poop down through the cab onto the road.
Right.
And it hits that drive shaft.
Yep.
And it just goes boom, you know, and it just splatters all over the inside frame rail for the truck. Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, let's just say that these are people known for their spicy foods. And this makes the underside of the whole truck just utterly disgusting. Anybody who works tires or Speedco knows about this habit. The thing that bothers me the most about it is I don't want to duke right over my coworker's shoulder. And I don't want my coworker standing right next to me going, you know, pitching one out, right. Laying cable right here in the cab next to me. No, thank you. That stinks. It already smells bad enough in here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. But people do all kinds of crazy things like that.
Yep. That's the industry. Right.
Yeah, yeah. And the other thing, too, is that there was a discussion about sitting bitch in a car. And I wanted to clear something up. Mm-hmm. Traditionally, the position of riding bitch is behind somebody on a motorcycle, right? And then if you're in the sidecar, you're the monkey. If you're in the passenger seat, what's that called?
Shotgun.
You're riding shotgun, right? Because that's where you're shooting the road signs with, right? Or it probably goes back to the stagecoach days, right? Where the guy's carrying the coach gun.
Yep.
You know, okay, so I'm going to ride shotgun. The position in the middle is the most prized and honored position. That's where the boss sits. And the reason is that the guy on the left has to drive, and the guy on the right has to get out and open the gates. So if you're a rancher in Nevada or in Idaho, you sit in the middle. You're not riding bitch. You're the boss. Everybody else has to do work. You know what I'm saying? So I don't want to hear any more of this disparaging, calling it ski lessons, you know,
right.
Skiing, you know, I don't want to call it that. You know, like think about what your hands do and you're skiing.
Right.
You know? Yeah, we're not doing ski lessons. It's not called riding bitch. It's a position of honor.
Fantastic.
Yeah, you know, some Texan came up here and he said, he saw my little spread out here, my little 8 acres. He said, this is all the property you got. He says, in Texas, I get in my truck. I can drive all day and never reach into my property. I said, yeah, I used to have a pickup like that, too.
Oh, man.
That's
hilarious. Well, is there anything else you guys want to hear about? Any of my story, you probably don't remember. You got so many damn people coming on this show.
There's always room for Flatbed Johnny in the show again.
You got that.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. One time a guy I worked with found a bag of counterfeit money, And he was running this like little car lot thing where he would take a car hauler, you know, those trucks with that haul a bunch of cars.
Right.
He'd go to these auctions and he'd buy like 8 cars, and then he'd bring them back to Nevada, and he would have a little mini car auction there on the weekend as a side hustle. And he just had a little wood lot or a little dirt lot, and he'd sell cars at auction. He'd sell them to a lot of people for cash. Well, he's kicking around this dirt lot, and he kicks over a clump of dirt, and there's a bag of fake money of like $200,000 in counterfeit 100s. And they're really bad too. They look like they've been printed out on a printer. Maybe it was Don McCann who done it. But he finds this bag of counterfeit money, and it's really poor quality counterfeit money. So he thinks, well, this weekend, let's see what happens if I take that stack of cash that I'm going to deposit in the bank. I slip one counterfeit $100 bill in the middle of the stack, and I'll just see what happens. Well, on Monday, the Secret Service is at his door, and the bank has reported this counterfeit money. And they're like, where'd you get this money? And he's like, well, I have these car auctions on Saturdays. And they're like, okay, here's what we're going to do. We think somebody may be passing these counterfeit bills at your car auctions. So what we're going to do is we're going to put undercover agents that are going to work at like they work at the car auction for you. And we're going to put cameras up here and here, and we're going to try to catch the person when they spend that fake money. He said he went home that night and he took those, you know, those sand buckets that a tow truck has. It's like a bucket full of sand.
Right.
So he's burning all that money in that bucket. Like, oh God, I don't want to go to jail. Just burn it. He burned $200,000. Just, oh God, oh please, oh God.
I'll never do it again,
I swear. And then he said, I know nothing, you know. It's like, I don't know, somebody passed me a fake 100. I didn't catch it, you know.
Yeah,
so right. He got away with it too, but
wow. Yeah.
Counterfeiting is a federal crime. Do not do it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you can't blame a guy for trying to get creative with it. But
yeah.
I mean, once you do it one time and that happens, you're like, all of a sudden, you're just like, I can feel it. Like your heart sinks to your stomach. You're like, oh my God, I'm going to jail. And I was so dumb. This was so stupid. Why would I ever think this was a good idea? You know, all those things go through your head. You know, all guys have been there where you just did something that you're like, in the moment, you're like, this is not a good idea, but I think it's okay. You know? And then all of a sudden that idea happens and it backfires, and all you're like, why did I ever do this? I'm so stupid. I'll never do it again. Just, you know, like, God, just one more shot.
When I was a kid, my friends convinced me to throw a rock at a cop car. I didn't even run away. I just threw the rock at the cop car. Psh, cop pulls to a stop. You know, I'm just standing there going. And he grabs me. He takes me home. And I got the worst punishment I could. I wasn't allowed to watch Dukes of Hazzard that weekend.
And
nowadays, it would be rewarded.
Yeah.
Right. I was a huge Dukes of Hazzard fan when I was a kid. So
yes, you know, sir.
I thought, you ever taken a car over a whoop-de-doo? It is not fun. You'll end up with a compressed spine, man. Do not do that either. I got a job offer one time in Nevada. They have a facility that tests vehicles where they have like all these really bumpy roads, mm-hmm. and then they just hire drivers to it's a commercial CDL job where you just drive down these bumpy roads all day around a track, and they got them to go like this back and forth. They got them to go up and down or whatever. They got gravel, that all kinds of terrain. And you put 1,000 miles on the car, then you test it to see how it does. Well, I thought this would be the coolest job ever. You'd be driving different vehicles all the time, and then I realized, no, wait. Those guys probably have so many back problems.
Yeah.
Because all they're doing is slamming down dirt roads all the day. You know, just bam, 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 bam. Like that is the worst. Oh, man, I already have, you know, bad back. I know you got bad back. It's occupational hazard, but man. Yeah.
That's not
don't, kind you think of, be like I, the Dukes
I don't need
hazard.
To aggravate it. Yep.
Yeah. You think it'd be like the Deuce of Hazard, take your in the countryside, take your car over a whoop-de-doo. It doesn't matter if you get 1 foot off the ground, that's still 1,500 pounds coming down, or even worth 4,000 pounds, you know, coming down. Well, bam!
Right.
Oh, I'm freaking back!
Yeah.
When I was at Pitt, I was telling I was always telling the guys who were like in straight trucks, I'm like, you guys got to get in the trailer. It's so much better, this, that, and the other. And one of the things that I was told before I got in the trailer is that it's more comfortable to drive. You're not banging around so much. But I never thought that driving a Class B was that bad until I got my trailer license and they put me in a straight truck for a day. I'm just like, holy crap. You know, like it rattles you to a core, but when you're doing it all the time, you don't even notice it until you get out. And so I was just telling the guys all the time, I was like, trust me, it's so much better. Yeah. Like, you don't know until you know.
You get that air ride seat going.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've noticed what you said, you know, like, when you're new, you're driving up like this, you know, you're standing up back straight. And you're like, right, going down the road. And then by the time you've been driving for 10, 20 years, you're leaned way back. You got the seat all the way down. You can barely see over the hood. You know, you're kicking back, you know, like, and you got that air ride all, you know, up as soft as it goes. So you're going up and down. You got your hand way up in the air to hold onto the handlebars. Like, yeah.
Or the steering wheel. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
We call that guesstimating driving.
Yeah.
Guesstimation driving.
Yeah. We have a general idea where the front of the truck is. If you look at the horizon,
can't see stuff.
Yeah. If you look at the horizon a certain way, you count down about 3 inches. That's about where you need to, you just have this whole system. You can start marking, like take a dry erase marker, mark it on the windshield as, okay, at this point, when I see this car at this point on the windshield, that's when you stop.
What time? There's a salt place in Salt Lake City that sells salt, actually, because they do a lot of salt production. The whole Pacific Northwest is all salt out of the Salt Lake. They don't have to mine it. It's a renewable resource. Well, my GPS, my truck GPS, has taken me in a spiral to get to this place. And I'm like, man, the road goes right there. Why is this thing saying go in a spiral? But I followed it, you know, and I go around, up and down, down, around, and I go in a spiral. And when I get there, there's a really low bridge, and there's all these pictures of all the trucks that have hit that bridge. They've got this big board, you know, don't go out westbound on this street. And then they just got trailer after trailer after trailer just smashed into this low bridge, you know. Wow. And I was like, that's why my truck, this is why I paid $300 for this damn truck GPS.
There you go.
Keep me from hitting that bridge.
Yes, sir.
And in flatbed, it's extra dangerous. It's not always the same height. You might get an excavator. You take it to the job. It's this high. You bring it back from the job, and you've not adjusted the boom the same, and it's that high.
Oh, yeah.
So
that makes sense.
So you're at extra danger of hitting things on the height because it can change over time. Mm. Whereas if in drive-in, it's always X high. You know how high
13,
it is.
13.6. Yep.
So, yeah. So we – there's an excellent, I'm sure many of your listeners have heard of the excellent website, 11foot8.com.
Yes.
People who hit low bridges. I love that.
Yes.
Because it's a good daily reminder of why I should look out for heights. Height limits.
Yeah, I found that website, I think, before I even got hired at Pitt, Ohio. That's an old website. It's been around for a long time. And that bridge.
Oh, they're still hitting that. They raised that bridge. They're still hitting it.
Yeah.
Once a month. Big signs. You are going to hit the bridge. You are going to hit the bridge. People still hit it all the time.
Right, right. Yeah. It's just a nonstop thing. And there's several, I mean, obviously, there's several bridges out there that just are just known to be cracked by trucks. And, you know, as you watch some of those videos, you start seeing more and more of people that have like RVs hitting it with the AC unit on top, and you know, U-Haul trucks, and people who just really don't have a clue.
Yep.
They're the ones that are hitting it a lot. And then you have every once in a while, the truck. Hey, Johnny, before we get out of here, you said that you didn't, I think you said before we start recording that you're not on Facebook. Are you on Instagram?
Yeah, but I kind of don't want to out myself.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah, I kind of want to, because, you know, like I said, the names have been changed to protect the guilty here. I don't want any of this coming. I'm so worried. I mean, these days, like, you never know what kind of stuff's going to come back and compromise your job.
Yeah.
Somebody mad about this or that opinion that you said, or I just try to say nothing. I just try to have no footprint whatsoever. So
no comment,
no opinions. You know, never know what's gonna, or you never know what you're gonna say today that's perfectly fine 6 years down the road. Now it's gonna get you fired because you shouldn't have said that, because we changed the rules.
Yeah.
The goalposts move. So I've seen too many people that get into too much trouble. And my coworker was like, well, the secretary of the job, oh, hey, you should get a Facebook page. I'm like, I'm not about to get fired for something I posted about saying about this or that, you know, or political opinions, or even something I did where I'm taking, you know, taking pictures out on the weekend or something. Hey, wait a second. That picture says it was taken at 11:50 and yet you were driving at 6 in the morning and yet you're drinking in the photo. So therefore you violated our 8-hour rule or 12-hour rule or what, you know.
Yeah.
Never know what the, at least at the one job I had, it was a 12-hour rule. So you weren't allowed to drink 12 hours before your shift. Mm-hmm. That was a personal rule that the company had, not a law. Mm-hmm. So you'd get, I mean, you get these guys that would post pictures from the bar that they were at the bar the night before, and then they'd get in trouble.
Yep.
So
because they're back at work 8 hours later.
Yeah. Back at work 8 hours later. It was called bottle to throttle. That's what they called it. 12 hours bottle to throttle. Mm. And then people be,
but it's not fair if they're getting you work 14 hours a day. You don't get the 12-hour time off before you have to be back in.
That was,
you're depriving me of my drinking time.
Yes, that was the implication that you are not to drink during the week because you work a 14.
Yep.
And then you're only allowed to do it on the weekend. In fact, in Utah, I don't know if it's still their law, but it used to be you couldn't get in the driver's side door after you'd been drinking, even if you were parked for the night. Shut down off duty. If you had been drinking, you had to get in the passenger side door because it indicated that you were not intending to drive.
Wow.
And so that was one thing that they would sting you for. They say, oh, you're sitting in that seat, you're on duty. And so even if you're not driving, you can get in trouble for it. That reminds me actually about driving on Christmas or trying to, of the Three Stooges, Larry, Moe, and Curly, Moe was the money man. And he called me one day on Christmas to try and get him to haul some hay. And this was the kind of thing where it's like, I don't care what you're doing this, you know, I don't care if it's Christmas, you get to work. And he called me up. He's like, I need you to get this load. And I was like, boss, I'm drunk. It is 2 p.m. on Christmas. I am drinking whiskey and sitting in my PJs and I'm having a good time. So I would love to haul that hay for you, boss, because why would I want to be at home here with my family on Christmas?
Right.
But I'm sorry. The law does not permit me because I am drunk and I didn't do it. And I never regretted it.
Yeah.
There you go.
See, that's a little trick, I guess, of the trade, that I was taught, pretty early in driving it. Cause so sometimes at Pitt, Ohio, you know, it's like, during the slow season, sometimes the low man gets called and hey, don't come in today. You're laid off for a daily layoff kind of thing. And, so it was like one of those things where if you get the layoff, whether it's true or not, you know, just if they call you like in 2 hours, like, hey, we picked up, we need you to come back in. Be like, sorry, I've been drinking since you told me I couldn't come in.
Yeah, you didn't need the 2 hours ago.
Yeah.
Cause I wish I knew that about 5 years ago. That's a good tip.
Yeah. Cause like that, that was a, at least when I was starting, it was a common thing where, you know, the day's looking slow, but by mid morning to early afternoon, the pickups are starting to flow in. Hey, we need you to come in and run around and do some pickups. And it's like, you don't feel like doing it at that point. You're already, you know, watching your favorite sitcom on replay. And so it's like, sorry, I've been drinking.
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air is on. What do you mean you want me to come in?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Big Willie Styles playing.
I'm just telling you what
Mark Takanos is up to.
Just giving you a hint as to what Tony's favorite sitcom was back in the day.
Yeah, back when I was a kid. Fresh Prince. I was a huge, huge Will Smith fan.
Yes, he was.
He was from Philadelphia.
Yeah.
You know, born and raised from I was all about it. Yeah. You know?
Now you're gonna sing the song?
Yeah, I know, right? But
that's until you're breaking out into it.
I can't help it. But I will say this. I'm not a huge Will Smith fan these days. The way that man runs publicly, the way he runs his life and family is something that I don't respect whatsoever. That man is walked on from the wife to the children, and that doesn't fly with me. A little respect, please. I don't like it.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Celebrity gossip.
Just trust me. Like I don't either. But like this dude went from like the guy of, you know, the guy, you know, like he was on another level 20 years ago to now where he is just walked all over by his family. His own wife will tell him how she's still in love with her dead boyfriend Tupac and he should just be okay with that. Like he is so like lost in his emotional bag that he can't even demand respect from his wife and children to a moderate level. Like, he has walked all over, and it's pathetic, and I have no respect for the man.
Yeah, welcome back to Will Smith Talk. Here we are.
Here with the Murphy Brothers. Some kind of segue, Johnny.
I'm telling you, like, I just... It really irks. Like, listen, I'm
Tony's
about,
Hollywood Watch.
I'm about giving the respect to my family, from my wife to my kids. Everybody deserves a certain level of respect. You know, kids, their respect is on a different level than the wife, all that, right? But it should be reciprocated. But he is literally walked all over by his own family like he's just trash. And I'm just like, yo, he's the only reason. Well, his ex-wife isn't, but his kids. That's the only reason why they have their position the way they are in life is because dad was a superstar when they were born. And I don't know.
Should Fortnite pay Carlton for this dance? Up next on Blabbing About Bel Air, the whole Fresh Prince podcast. We're going minute by minute through the series here. Oh no, Jazz is here, everybody. Is Uncle Phil going to throw him out? Man, I love that stuff. I love that stuff too, man. I was a little white kid walking around in Ohio listening to my, I think I can beat Mike Tyson, like listening to my headphones with my Will Smith on, you know. It was safe rap. It was safe rap, you know. None of this guns and hoes. It was just him talking about how parents just don't understand. And that was me, man.
Now rap isn't even rap. They call it mumble rap. Like it's literally these kids, they don't even know. They don't have a clear thought in their brain to be able to relate to anybody in the world. So it's just mumbling. And then there's a whole generation of children out there that identify with it because they have no thoughts either. And so there's like, yeah, I kind of like this mumbling nonsense because none of us have any thoughts.
Got all those tattoos on the face, look like I fell asleep at a party. You know?
Right. Exactly. I'm like, wouldn't that become cool? Because when we were growing up, it was like, that was a sign that you got played.
These kids today with their Tide Pods, whippersnappers, every one of them.
Sound like a couple of old guys complaining about this generation.
This generation with their self driving cars, they don't even know how to shift.
Hey, you watch it with the self driving car talk.
I know. Yeah. Well. Yeah. Look, guys. The industry is safe as long as I'm going to be in it. If I'm still driving 25 years from now, then put a gun in my mouth. I hope not to do it forever. I hope to be out of here before the robot cars come along, you know.
Well, it's the robot car,
and I like it, but man,
yeah, the robot cars are here, man. You're just waiting, like the robot trucks, they're right around the corner. Yeah. But we'll save that conversation for when Uncle Phil comes back to the studio.
Here you go again.
Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be truckers.
Yeah, right on, right on. Have,
you know, they'll have big old guts, and they'll be all blind in the left eye from the wind blowing on it, drying that eyeball out.
And deaf in both ears.
Deaf in the left ear. I got all these liver spots on my left arm from hanging it out the window.
That's right.
Farmer got a bad back.
Yeah,
yes, sir.
I ordered a new spine, but they said it was on back order.
Yeah.
It's still in the LA docks.
I'm waiting for Tony to get it.
It's
on back order.
Oh yeah, I was on a different.
Oh yeah. he's got it. Yeah. Come on, man.
That was funny.
You know, I was thinking the back order, as in, you know,
yeah, the backlog of all the ships
events,
hanging out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh well.
Yeah. When your back hurts, it hurts.
Yep.
Well, boys, I think it's been fun.
A blast.
Johnny, it's been good having you back on, brother.
Yeah. No, it's great. It's great. And I'm just gonna keep on rolling down the road, just keeping my nose between the ditches and the Smokies on my britches, as they say. and keep my, you know, keep the hammer down the in the hammer lane and the rubber side down, the chrome shiny side up. And
yes, sir.
I'll be out there doing it, man. Maybe I'll see you. Maybe I'll pass you out on the highway.
That'd be cool.
Throwing my poop bag out the window, trying to clear
just throwing
that
it wide.
Throwing it wide. Throwing it wide. What? We had a driver put make a little pee funnel in his car in his truck. He had a little pee funnel. You know, it went down, and it was fine until the mechanics were working under the truck. And they're like, "Man, what is this tube? This brush in my face, man, keeps getting in my face. Like, what is this tube?" Oh, and they followed it all the way up. It was his piss funnel that he made.
Get creative. Get creative.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You know, it's just as easy to pull over and stop and go.
No. You gotta save time. No. Save time and money.
If I don't have enough time to go.
We had a guy get in a cab over with a sleeper, and he put a waterbed in there. A waterbed mattress.
Wow.
And he didn't tell the shop about this.
Uh-huh.
So he gets it in for the service. It's got that waterbed in the back. They cranked that cab forward, and that mattress came out the windshield. It came down like boom. Yeah. And the mechanic said he thought it was the blob coming after him. And all of a sudden, it just this huge rubber blob just came out the windshield, smashed it, came after him, chasing him through the shop. Wow. You know? And that was the end of that guy.
Yes, it was.
why would you even want him? I mean, I guess, I don't know. Waterbed also hurt my back. You know, that, I guess that was really popular back in the day or whatever, but I don't know why you would have that in a truck.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if anybody even thinks about getting a waterbed these days.
I don't know. I don't, you know, yeah, with all the new types of mattresses and everything, you know, the Tempur-Pedics and the
sleep numbers and all that stuff. Yeah. That is one thing, you know, my company, though, the one thing they really do, they give you a nice mattress.
Yeah.
They don't skimp on that stuff. You're not sitting in there slipping on a little yoga mat or nothing like that.
Right, right.
Nice mattress.
That's fantastic. But that's important. Make sure you get your rest.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you're sleeping in your truck.
I just want to say it out here, come out publicly. I'm on a CPAP, man, and I love it.
Yep.
I love my CPAP machine. They got me. They made me get it for my CDL, for my medical, and it changed my life.
Yeah.
If you're afraid of making changes like that, old guys, fat guys like me, get the CPAP, man. Right. Don't, or try it out. Get sleep tested. It is worth it.
Really?
Changed my life. I stay awake through movies now. I haven't seen the end of a movie in 10 years.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I fall asleep. And this is a danger with guys with apnea. They get tired on the road. Now I get a good solid night's sleep. I start dreaming again. And I don't want there to be any stigma about this. I'm going to be the first one to say it. I love my CPAP machine. It changed my life. Changed my wife's life, because I don't snore when I'm home anymore.
Right.
So, you know, don't be afraid to go out there and get tested for your sleep.
Yes,
wow. Be sure to spay and neuter your animals, folks. And don't eat the lava lamp wax. And don't make any counterfeit money. And throw your poop bag wide. You know, we want to have positive messages.
We've got a whole list of PSAs today.
Yeah.
PSAs with Flatbed Johnny.
If you go to a town with only two barbers, pick the one with the worst haircut.
Amen, brother. You didn't get it?
No.
Because he's going to the other guy. Two barbers. If he's got the bad haircut, the other guy has a good haircut. And I'm the old one.
Hey, I cut my own hair. I just shave it down, you know? I don't think about that.
Get pretty early in the morning to get one past old Brian there. He's got a mind like a steel trap.
Yeah. Unless it's something important I have to remember. Not so much a steel trap, it's more like a steel sieve.
She's got a mind like a steel sieve.
Yes, sir. Well, that's the show, everybody. Thank you for joining us here on Hammer Lane Legends. And if you did like the show, Tony, tell them what they can do.
They can share the freaking show anywhere and everywhere. We don't care where you share the show. Just share the freaking show if you enjoyed it. Go into your pocket, pull out your phone, and you have a contact list on your phone. And probably most people have about 100 to 200, maybe 300, 400, 500 people.
Maybe you know a lot of people.
Maybe you know a lot of people. All those people on that phone have ears. And
yes, they do.
I would be willing to bet at least 95% of those ears work just fine. And so just take the link and text it to people. Text it. You know, don't even text it to people that you like.
everybody has people on your phone that you just don't like.
Well, you don't even really know that well.
Yeah, that you don't know well, that you're never going to really talk to again. So if you don't want to share it with like your grandmother or
which I don't know why you
your cousin.
Want to.
Yeah, I don't know why. But if you're self-conscious about these things, you know, some people get a little self-conscious about sharing things like, oh, I like this, but I don't know if anybody else will like it. Oh, and you psych yourself out, you silliness. Just share it with complete strangers on your phone, people that you can't stand or you haven't talked to in years, and just text it to them. They don't even have you have their number. They don't have your number. Just text it to them. And, you know, why don't you piss a lot of people off with Hammerlane?
They might actually find it really fun and enjoyable and be thankful, and maybe you'll start a friendship between you and that person.
Yeah we need to come up with some kind of like bumper sticker, and then just like for people just to take and just put it on random people's cars. Just there, start violating people's cars with Hammerlane stickers.
Yeah,
and we actually have the Hammerlane stickers on the website, hammerlanelegends.com/gear. We offer the logo in sticker form. And just, you know, buy maybe 5 to 10 of those, and just start slapping them on people's back of people's bumpers when they're in Walmart. And, you know, find the trashiest car in the parking lot and slap the sticker on that, because it will only make it look better.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thought. Yeah. It's a beautiful thought.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're just brainstorming out loud of how you can share the show. I mean, I'm sure you guys got great ideas, maybe some better ideas than what I just offered, but I think these are fantastic ideas.
Well, they're different.
Yeah, start a trend, making the world look better by putting bumper stickers on people's trashy vehicles, and share the show on your phone, texting with people that you never talked to before or you haven't talked to in years. Text it to your bosses, you know, your ex-lovers, all of them. So anyways. Yeah.
Big shout out to some of the guys that listen at work. They've been sharing the show.
Yeah.
They've been doing that. They've been sharing the Pit show Boys. With everybody. Yeah, and I appreciate that. It's really cool.
The Pit Boys, man.
Yes, sir. Dude. All that being said, keep the hammer down.
In the Hammer Lane.
See ya.
Bye.